to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sava. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sava. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sava. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves its path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyambi tatyambi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end the suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Todd?
I'd like to look at colluding with ego.
Colluding with ego.
Yeah. Get so clear in a monastic setting. First, how much I do collude with ego, not at the monastery out there. Mm-hmm. But having said that, no beatings. And not feeling bad about it.
Yeah, just noticing.
Yeah.
No meetings required.
Right, yeah. Just wow. Because here, you're getting a sense in such a short period of time that there's just so much overwhelming support and structure to not collude with ego and not go with it. Mm-hmm. Where out there, but then having said that, out there, I collude a lot less with ego than I ever did.
Uh-huh. That's good to notice too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So coming into the monastic setting, it sounds like there's so much support and structure to not collude with ego. It really highlights when we are. And then you kind of notice, gosh, that seems to, boy, I see that pattern. That goes on outside of here quite a bit. And also noticing, well, maybe there's been a transformation because that's not going on as much as it used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really felt kind of really crystallized for me yesterday in sitting meditation, where I was off in some thought process or whatever, and then I came back, and it's just that small still voice says, "Want to be here, there where we were, is suffering," mm-hmm. and that suffering had tortured me for decades, relentlessly. Mm-hmm. Why would I go with a system that has actually tortured me relentlessly? Yes. Actually, to a point that brought me to practice was suicidal depression. Mm-hmm. And why would I go with that, even if it's just some little fantasy about the matter? And that still small voice just keeps guiding me back here. That's not where we want to be.
Yes.
That's a system we don't want any part of.
Yeah.
And it just seemed, I don't know why, yesterday it seemed so clear. It was like, wow, yeah. Wow, I've been hearing that forever in practice. You know, just drop the conversation. Mm-hmm. Don't go to conditioned mind. Get here. You know, quality of our lives determined by the focus of our attention over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden one day it just goes, wow. It seems to all come together at once, like, whew.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what they're pointing at?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I can go with that. Even though I've heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Probably more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that just seems to be the process.
Yeah.
Hearing it 1,000 times, maybe more.
Right.
You know, the focus of our attention determines the quality of our lives. See, you know, going through decades, we all can relate to that, of suffering. Mm-hmm. And then here you are in meditation. It's a good argument for meditation, giving ourselves some room just to be still.
Yes.
You know, because it gives us that chance to hear that still, small voice. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just saying, oh, let's be here. You know, I want to be here. And that again, kind of that contrast you were describing before really highlights, well, why would I want to go with that system that at one point was there suicidal depression?
Mm-hmm.
Why, I was so clear, I want to be here. Mm-hmm. And it just, at that moment, everything just kind of comes together. It's crystallized, as he said. And it's like, yes, got it.
Yeah.
It is such a good argument, too, for recording and listening.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I recorded that whole process this morning, first thing. First thing, while we've got still small voice. Let's get that inside on tape.
Yes.
You know, let's get it recorded.
Yes.
Because...
And then talking about it here right now.
Yeah, and then, yeah, dropped in. This would be something to really process and look at in group.
Yeah, it's like living in the conversation we want to live in.
Yeah.
We're living in it, we have the insight, and, you know, of course, what ego wants to do is immediately... cover that up. That is such the brilliance of recording and listening, is we keep it uncovered, we keep it alive in a way we can live in it. Mm-hmm. And so then it occurs you to do that, you do it, yes, and then you're in group and it occurs, you know, it'd be good to keep looking at this.
Yes.
And continue being in that, if you want to call it a life conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Just so appreciative for the guidelines. It was just arising that it feels like the commitment I make in participating in the Visiting Monk program is to follow the guidelines and follow life's guidance. That's the commitment I make. I'll follow the guidelines to the best of my ability. And when I don't, and in times I don't, there's just, it's, like I said, the overwhelming structure and support is I get a little course correction.
Yes.
I get a note from a monk or the guest master, and it's so beautiful when I get it. It's like, oh wow. You know, so helpful. Mm-hmm. Didn't see that distraction. I didn't see where I missed that guideline. I didn't see where I missed the still small voice. And what I saw too with the guidelines is the still small voice just getting so clear is just one or two words, like indoor shoes. Mm.
Yeah.
Light switch off, leaving room. You know, close bathroom door. It's not this, the conversation conditioned mind is this whole, you know, soliloquy, monologue, dissertation, you name it. But the still small voice is just one or two simple words. And if I'm there, it really jars me, like, oh, yeah, we were a hat in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Just prompting me, these little guidelines of presence.
Just prompting you.
Yeah.
The guidelines from presence. And it's so fun to come to the monastery and practice the way exactly that you're describing and that we're always practicing, right? We're tuning into being guided by life. As you've been alluding to all morning, it's always there.
Yes.
Just I'm sometimes not here to receive that.
Yeah.
So when you come to the monastery, the way we can train is there are some guidelines to follow.
Yes.
And what you do is you just commit to doing that.
That's right.
Because you know that's a way to calibrate to, you know, where we often use, calibrate to life's guidance. Mm-hmm. And the way that works is so wonderful, right? So we follow the guidelines, and then when we're outside of those guidelines, we get prompts.
Yep.
Maybe by a note, and also that training to hear that internal small voice that you've been talking about,
right.
Just saying, you know, indoor shoes, you know, the light off. And it's so amazing to have that experience, because I don't know if it's what you're saying, but sometimes we can imagine, oh, it's going to be, you know, the best, the life-changing, but it's just a moment by moment, and just a word here or there, as you were saying, and it's just like, wow. I mean, it hits us, or it's a, you know, I can't remember your words, but it's powerful.
Right. That love, that's why it's characterized as a small, still voice. It's not the, you know, this droning, incessant barrage of self-hate or conditioning or whatever you want to call it. It's this small, still voice.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to really be paying, in my experience is, you'll be really paying attention to catch it.
That's the beauty, isn't it? It requires us.
It requires a serious amount of attention, a training of attention, directing the attention to catch that.
Yeah, it requires a serious amount of training and directing the attention and the willingness to receive the support to do that, which is what you're describing.
It's nice to hear that, the willingness to receive the support.
Yeah.
That's a big key, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's huge.
Yeah, because if we weren't willing to receive it, we would be gone. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't last very long. It seems like, you know, we'd be just... It'd be a train wreck.
It'd be a train wreck. Yeah, and when you were saying, you know, when I come here, the commitment is to follow the guidelines. It can kind of sound like, just follow the guidelines. But it's the way you're describing, it's everything.
It's everything.
It's the training to being present, to being alive, to being here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, that's just so transferable, though, when you go back out there, to, as I said earlier, that huge contrast is the colluding with egos is diminishing and diminishing and diminishing as practice deepens and deepens and deepens, and as I'm willing to receive all the practice support and practice opportunities that are offered.
Yeah, and it sounds like getting really clear, what is life? What is the still small voice?
Yeah.
And what is that ego chatter? And it's just really helpful to come into a monastic setting to deepen that clarity. And as you said, it's completely transferable. We leave. We know that experience of the still small voice, and we know the experience of the chatter. Yes. So we go out into the world, and we get to practice that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Cameron.
Yeah. As that was being said about following the guidelines, it just felt like another way of saying, "Thy will be done." When that came in, it was just like, God, that is such a different perspective from my will be done, which is what ego has trained us to look to.
Yeah, such a different perspective.
What do I want? What's going to make me feel better here? How is this going to work for me? Instead of just following the guidelines, whether you're here or out in life, the guidelines that life provides.
Mm-hmm. Again, a great description of the real difference between there's thy will be done, and then we have that experience, and then we have this that we're familiar with, what works for me, what do I want to do, and just a way to train with that by following the guidelines.
As it was mentioned, it's such a path of suffering, my will be done. I mean, there is no way I can control life to give me everything I want. And I'm just slamming up against, everything that won't let me have what I want. Mm-hmm. And then having some kind of unhappy response to that.
Yeah.
And it's a misery.
Yeah, which can be really helpful, right? In this
sense
that...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not working. I mean, it's amazing how much we keep doing it, even though it's not working.
Yeah, well, it's probably because I didn't do something right.
Yeah,
I just need to try harder.
I just need to try harder.
Yeah,
do something. I'm the right person next
time.
Be
the better person who can actually get this managed.
Yeah. But if we just take a half a step back, we can just see, gosh, that is such misery. There's no way, as you said, that I can control everything in life to get what I want. That doesn't even make sense. It's not my experience. It doesn't,
So that was just fun to see that. That seems like a theme that's being pounded in these days. Let go and let life.
Let go and let life.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, as was being said, we need to hear that a thousand times.
A million trillion.
Because
it's like the what's been impressed into us is not that. The conditioning over and over, and being in a culture that lives like you can control, and if you're the right person, you can do it.
Yeah, it's been impressed. That's kind of a good image. It's just like imprinted into us or something.
Yeah.
About, we live in a culture that, and not just this lifetime, we can project kalpas.
Yeah.
Right? No, you can. The illusion that we're separate and we can control life if you just. Yeah. And so, we're just getting clear on that, getting clear to that, what our experience is already telling us, which that doesn't work.
Right.
And then we have these ways to train, as you highlighted at the beginning, following the guidelines.
Yeah.
To be here.
Thank you.
Penny?
A couple things. One was just mentioning about thinking in a culture where we think we have control. I remember how many times I was in situations where people would talk about putting together their 5-year plan. You have to have a 5-year plan.
You hear the chuckles of knowing how.
I was never able to do that. I thought, how in the world can you put together a 5-year plan? And people were deadly serious about that. They're probably deadly to go.
Yeah, this is how it's going to go. Yeah, and I can plan it out 5 years ahead of time. Yeah.
What was coming up for me was in the first conversation about attention, I was noticing the other day a phenomenon where an insight simply happens. And the ego step is to try to put that into words. Internally.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you have to be speaking to someone else, and it's an automatic, it has been an automatic step. Something drops in And then there's the putting it into words. And the rationale, I mean, the underlying rationale of it is that I've got to put it into words to get it. And what I'm getting is I already got it.
You already got it.
And
that's the phenomenon of insight, that you've already got it, the transformation's already happened. And I think what you're describing is how ego tries to take that over, or cover yeah. it up, is to convince us that we need to articulate it, and we need to put it into words, not even to say to somebody, but in our head, right. as a way to get it. And you just have the experience of, well, wait a second, I already right. received that.
And with what causes the movement is the belief that I don't have it, and that mm-hmm. until I hear it in words, I won't have it.
Oh, that's so good to see.
Yeah, and so what's really the fun challenge is to drop the words and just trust that it's there, whatever it is.
Wow.
That has not yet been put into words.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nervous making, but a good process, you know. And the way I can know that, because then you were talking about, and you can bring it to group and you can talk about it and that kind of thing. And the way I know that it's an ego movement is that there's no movement to record and listen about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it's really important to get it out there,
uh-huh.
then it's important to get it on a recorder. So the impulse is simply to put it into words internally, but yeah. there's no impulse to put it on a recorder.
That's so good. So, because, gosh, it can really be believable, right? Like, it's on our side. Well, I want you to be able to keep this inside. Yeah. This is yeah. So if you just articulate, I mean, because you don't quite have it,
right.
is the belief, or the thing we believe, that I'm guessing is said to us. And so, oh, yeah, okay, well, what should I do? Well, then you just need to articulate in your head, and you'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing through that bamboozle. And one way to catch that is a bamboozle, a telltale sign, is that it's not suggesting to record and listen,
right.
which we know is a process support that supports being here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other part of the bamboozle is, one part is I don't have it unless it's articulated. The other part of it is that when I articulate it, I have something.
Uh-huh. You know,
that I have something, like some little possession.
Yeah, I can carry it
which
around.
Which is not what insights are.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting to watch that. And I just caught it the other day like that.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, but it might be the first or second time in my life I've caught that. Because there's such a move to put things into words in this head.
Yeah. Gosh. Just imagine all of that just arrived in awareness, because you can really break it down. I mean, there's just another sign that, wait a second. You know?
Yeah, and what's interesting is, as I'm saying this, being reflected, is that's an insight.
Yes.
But I don't think I had particularly something dropped in. I can't even tell you what it was.
Yeah.
So then there was the move to put it into words. Then there was an awareness that that was happening.
Yes.
That awareness was the other insight. But it was... there wasn't any particular push to put that into words, but in group it feels it's just there to put into words.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. It really goes with what you were just saying about the practices. I'm not going to put it into words, because the way you describe it is it's all just happening.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, you know, there is an insight, there is an awareness.
Right.
Of the ego process that was going on.
Right.
And then now it's just occurred to talk about it in a group and put it into words.
And put it on the recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Jin.
So I was sitting here, let's see. I'm kind of coming out of my funk. So this morning, I've been recording and writing on my giant whiteboard about what I want in this life,
uh-huh.
you know, awareness practice. Fun stuff like watercolor, things like that.
Yeah. Those are those kinds of things that help us know we're coming out of the funk, right? We've got the recorder on, we've got our big board, and we're saying what we want in this life, and there's fun stuff coming up, like watercolors.
Yes. Yeah. So this happened a few minutes ago, sitting here listening. I have information that mindfulness is that just mindfulness practice in every little thing is just lovely. It's wonderful. Okay? And that's my experience. And it comes and goes. You know, I forget. It's the good old forgetting. Mm-hmm. I forget to be mindful. And so I was sitting here, and I was kind of being a little bit excited about coming back to the moment and bringing mindfulness and awareness and gentleness and love to life, to every bit of what goes on. And that felt good. And then this voice said, well, but that's, you're just doing it for selfish reasons. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to really have any big change of behavior. Uh-huh. You're just doing this because it said that kind of thing. And for a couple of minutes, I believed that. It sounded like that was true. And so I sat here in failure and defeat and shame for a couple of minutes. And then somehow that little a little tap on the shoulder, and all of a sudden I was back in the room, back in my body, realizing, oh, that was close.
what a great entire process to see.
Yeah.
Right? So just, you know, you had some information, it's your experience, that mindfulness in every little area of your life is a good thing. And there is this, you're experiencing this excitement of bringing that, I think you said, love and kindness, that mindfulness to everything that we're doing. And then, you know, here comes the voice, right? Because it can't allow that to go on. And it says something that was believable in the moment about whatever, you're being selfish and, you know, you're not gonna, even though in the moment there is a behavior change actually, right?
Yeah.
You're up there, you're recording, you're being present to life as whatever's going on. And there was that, you could feel that, I bet you, that familiar place we can all relate to where we just feel defeated and that's true, and the energy. Yeah.
That's true. I'm not going to change my entire life.
Yeah, I'm not going to, that's true, I'm not going to change.
Stop being the wrong person.
Yeah, stop being the wrong person. And then just, you know, that grace or just the practices that we're doing, there's that enough of that expanded something where you're, because as it was being talked about, that's actually quite subtle. That still small voice or the tap, you said. And then you were right back here and you could see everything that went on. It's like, whew, yeah.
Yeah, what was so apparent in the coming back moment was, and it's the old thing about not being present in this moment is not good practice for being present in a future moment. Maybe I'll forget about mindfulness, but living in defeat and despair and failures,
yeah,
not going to avoid forgetting about
yeah, it is that way. Practice is what you have, and gosh, that's such a great reminder to have on the recorder, you know, practicing despair and whatever failure is not good preparation for being present and having, as you started off with, what I actually want in my life. What we want in our life happens by practicing what we want in our life. Gosh, it's so funny, isn't it? It's like, I gotta write that down, that's good. It's the same thing we've been talking about, you know, we have to hear it 1,000 times, and again, the recorder is just such a great way to keep it here, available. Yeah. makes this available. It's almost like putting my shoulder up. I'm ready for a tap, you know, anytime, you know.
Here it is.
Because we know we're going to, we know we're going to come in and out. That's just the process. There's nothing wrong. We didn't do anything bad. It's just how it goes. But to give ourselves as much support to be available to coming back, yes, and to stay here, yes. Yeah. So go ahead.
Well, interesting conversation, and this just words. I find fascinating this words fascinating, mm-hmm. and communication and talking and all of that, which seems to be landed with critters called humans. You know, and it's just like it just in the talk this morning about trying to put insights into words and. It just took me to that place again where so much is not is communicated beyond words.
So much is communicated beyond words. Uh-huh. And then there's this funny thing about putting things into words, that communication yep. somehow blended in with these creatures called humans.
Right. Yeah. And let's see, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it just, mm-hmm. Just seeing that you know how words can be used as you know where would we be with words? Where would self-hate be without words? You know, and how?
Where would we be? Where would self-hate be without words?
Words, you know, and how that's used, a form that's used to separate us, mm-hmm. both out of our mouths, and in that process, that internal.
Yes.
conversation that goes on as well.
Yeah, both by speaking and the internal words conversation that goes on mm-hmm. inside is can be used as a process of separation.
Yeah. And it just took me, of course, to Pache and Sadie and all the critters around who don't have the capacity. Well, at least they don't speak our language. I don't know. And just watching how much is communicated mm-hmm. from them.
Yes.
Through them.
Yeah, without
without those words
coming out. Yeah. And how much is communicated when we're paying attention.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe they're the higher life form, you know. that have had that curse of words just, you know.
It's hard, and I can go right there with you. Doesn't seem like they're going around thinking they're really inadequate or eating the dog, or, you know.
It's just I find that it's it just brings me back again to let's see, a number of things dropped in about that. Just the effect of our practice and our being on life. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's see, it's like what we are has such a huge impact on everything beyond words.
Uh-huh.
You know, spoken about, just, you know, to act when you're alone as if someone is watching, and to, you know, to just know that the words seem like just such a necessity for communicating, you know, everything, and yet. Maybe more is being communicated just in that presence.
You pick it that way. And you know that experience.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it's like when you're talking about Apache and Sadie. Just the gift of them mirroring back mm-hmm. that experience mm-hmm. that so much is being communicated without words.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be coming from us too, and to really see mm-hmm. that has. Such that really matters. That has such an impact.
Mm-hmm.
What we're practicing, you know, how we are, has such a massive impact mm-hmm. on the world. You know, beyond mm-hmm. those words,
mm-hmm.
and to really, just going right there and getting really in tune with that to that point of, you know, can convince you when no one else is around, it doesn't really matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
But on an intuitive level, we know that's not true.
Yeah, it just brings me to that monastic practice. I mean, you know, I know I have folks that I know that look at it like running away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and why would, I mean, and ours is a practice where actually we have quite a bit of interaction with the world, but, you know, there's even practices where people go into monasteries and that's it, you know. You don't see them again, you know, they're just, and one would say, what, you know, what is the benefit of that? And then going to that place of it's all beyond, I don't know where I'm, you know.
Well, it's right back to, you can't describe
it. Now I'm stuck in words.
Yeah,
you
well,
know?
I mean, there's no way to explain that,
yeah.
that in words.
Yeah.
As you said, if somebody goes into a monastery and people are like, from the place of words, it doesn't make any sense. What do you,
mm-hmm.
you're going to go into there and you're going to practice and you're not going to come out?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you just running away from
mm-hmm.
the,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and that's that place of getting lost. But if you have those other experiences
mm-hmm.
that we all have,
yeah.
that place of not words, you know, we could say a place of non-conditioned mind, but of presence.
Yeah.
We can see that impact
yeah.
of practicing presence moment by moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's sort of like in spite of words.
In spite of words. In spite of the curse of words.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, wow, where would we, you know, so much has come down through, you know, the
yeah.
Buddha and, you know, the words ascribed
yeah.
to that inspire and guide and,
yeah.
you know, and so it's, what I'm left with, it's not the content.
That's right, where I was at, yeah.
It's
the
process.
Yeah. Well, we get to watch the guide model that all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, it doesn't take an eye to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It doesn't take an eye. It doesn't take an eye to do anything. I don't know if this is veering away, but, just having that experience this morning of I found out I'm supposed to deliver an article on something, you know, in a couple of days. Like, oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yes.
You know, and there's that immediate like, oh, why me, you know? And that's the ego, you know, like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I don't want to do this. Somebody is, definitely someone else is more qualified. And then, having that experience of, wait a minute, it's not content, it's process, and the process is turning to life over and over and over
yeah.
again, and that's not taking ownership of anything. It's like, what, now what life?
Yeah. Now what life?
Now
yes.
what, you know.
I'm available.
Yeah, and then just, boom, having that, something come in.
Yeah,
you know,
wow, that is
just,
amazing.
Yeah, you know, we all have that experience. You know, you just get chills and you go, oh, that obviously wasn't I. It wasn't me that did that. And so maybe that's the possibility for words coming from that place of, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, both spoken and written.
Yeah,
yeah, just really what Todd started us off with is
mm-hmm.
seeing the difference really
mm-hmm.
clearly. I mean, it does take training, doesn't it, to
yeah.
get that, like, oh, God, not me, and why me, and I can't do this, to get, oh, that isn't me.
Yeah.
That's that ego process,
yeah.
not just hit ego. Oh,
yeah.
okay, they're already making the turn,
yeah.
you know, and then you kind of keep that turn going by, well, what life?
Yeah. Yeah.
And to see, oh, that's the process where words are the content.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to come from an ego place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it also kind of arises about how the guy talks about doing email classes, and all she is the fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
just typing along. And
yeah.
we also have that experience ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're writing, but I mean, we're the hand and holding the pencil.
Yeah.
And to know that's possible, and
yeah.
then there's the process of presence, of oneness
uh-huh.
with the same content.
With this, exactly. Wow, that's great. That's and a lot. Lastly, I'll say there was a recent open air when Sherry was speaking to someone. They were talking about talking or speaking up in, mm-hmm. in groups, and she was saying that if you're always waiting to, not Sherry, but the person that was saying that if you're always waiting to talk in group till you get information from, if you're getting it, if the information is coming from ego to talk, and then there's the information from life to talk, you know? And so there's just this, this woman was talking about the process of waiting, I get, you know, kind of for that ego voice to say talk, and so she was always just seeing a particular aspect of her personality, you know, that showed up to talk.
Uh-huh.
And
which is so informative in itself, isn't it?
Exactly. And so then to move to that place of just opening the mouth and letting life talk, you know, and to practice that, and how scary that can feel in the beginning to, like, you know, to let go of that other companion.
Yeah, well, that's me. You're gonna you're essentially talking about letting go of me, and everything else.
Yeah.
Everything is apparently dependent on that.
Yeah.
So you're asking me to give that up,
yeah.
and you know, it could feel a little scary to switch over to that something that when we're in it is not scary at all. It's exciting. It's invigorating, and gosh, to know that that's possible. I mean, what a fun place to train.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, of course, which the guide also talks about is, you know, when we're talking in group with her or whatever, it doesn't matter what we're talking.
Yeah.
And it's irrelevant.
It's so irrelevant.
It's exactly what you're describing about the process of seeing things like, oh, there's this process and it seems like there's an identity talking, and they seem to talk about the same kinds of things, or the, it's a certain energy, or it's something's going on in my body, and how different that is than I open my mouth and these words come out, and it's almost like I'm watching them come out as they come out.
Well, that's great. I appreciate being facilitated through that, because I did get a lot. I got a lot heard from that about, so thank you.
Rebecca?
I appreciated that about words too, and I want to, what came to mind was my favorite Pache nonverbal communication, which is when we go for a walk and he is not in the mood to walk, and he'll lag behind about 10, maybe 15 yards, and I'll say, come on, Pache, come on, let's go for a walk. And he'll look straight at me, and he won't move, and then I'll urge him again, and he'll look straight at me, and then he'll sit down.
Yeah, in case you didn't get the novice about walking, I'm sitting down.
Clearly she doesn't understand.
In such a kind way.
I know.
There's no grumbling or calling you names, however a dog would do that. It's just
no digging in his heels.
Yeah.
Don't drag me. Oh, it's so funny. But it brought up another thing I hadn't looked at or thought about in years. But it's how what gets communicated through the words, not necessarily by the words.
Through the words, not by the words.
Yeah, and so years ago when I was active in ministry in the Catholic tradition, there was a liturgist was talking to us about. We were reading, the readings from the Bible were being done in Spanish to, and someone was bringing up, well, what about all the English speakers that won't understand, da da da. And the answer was, it's the Word of God. You know, if it's proclaimed well, it doesn't matter what language, people will get it.
Yeah.
And that has been like a koan for me for a long, and sitting in, and sitting in church services like that were all in Bemba, and all in Spanish. When I wandered into a Spanish Mass one time, not knowing that it was a Spanish Mass, I could experience that.
Yes.
There's an energy in the message that the words carry.
Yes.
But that don't. Yeah. But
they're almost like a vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah,
and sometimes when
energy,
it can
transformative energy.
Yeah, and sometimes when it can transcend the mind of understanding, in quotes. It really, I can experience the power of the message beyond the intellectual understanding of the words.
Mm-hmm. You had that experience with Spanish and Bemba, and just that's been a come on for a while to really see that. I mean, I kind of, when you said that, it's the word of God. Mm-hmm. It just, I could feel that. Like, why would it matter what we're saying?
Yeah.
It's similar to what we were just talking about with when the guy says, it doesn't matter what we're talking about or what questions are being asked. I mean, what I'm hearing is it's presence that transforms.
Yeah.
And there's something here that receives that.
Yes.
And so if it can transcend the mind that wants to understand, well, why? What about people who speak in English? Mm-hmm. If we can transcend that and just be present, the message from God is, you know, and we all know that. I mean, I don't, at least for me, like being in a group and not really, I don't know what they're saying exactly.
Yeah, I mean, what they're talking about.
But I can feel the transfer. I mean,
yeah.
Whether when I leave, I just feel like more awake or expanded, uh-huh. or I don't know what just happened.
I know. I don't think
I understood anything what that person was saying, but here I am, and I feel awake.
Yes. Yeah. It's that experience in group when, you know, someone would say, I don't know why anyone needs to do drugs, you know, because you just leave on such a high, and it doesn't even matter. I mean, I couldn't ever recall what was talked about. I can recall that the experience was had.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
In that group, or yeah. whatever.
That's the through the words rather than by the words. Yeah.
And it's tying in now as we were talking about it, the way Sherry talks about writing books, or writing anything actually, which is if it's coming from a place of ego, the product, the book is an ego book, you know, or I don't know, this is not necessarily really what she said, just for the record. but when it's coming from center, that's what's given or what is produced.
Yeah.
Is something from center. And I had just a wonderful little taste of that last week as I was working on a writing thing, and I mentioned it in the Thursday night group, but it just keeps being here, which is, you know, I was just writing, you know, and that's fine, but it was definitely not the other, you know, listen. And then, just the last part of the period of time that was designated for that project, there was a shift that happened. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it was coming from that centered place. And then I've been watching ever since, the whole rest of the week, ego wanting to get back to that.
Yeah. How did I do that? Can I do that again?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's the koan sort of that letting go.
Yes.
That
yeah.
It was such a gift, and there ain't a darn thing I can do to get that gift back, except maybe, you know, ask. You know,
yeah.
Ask for the gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask and you shall receive. You know, and be open, and all of those things that we do in terms of practice. But any kind of grasping or any kind of wanting, there's a difference between asking and wanting.
Yeah, there's a difference between asking and wanting. And we can all, I mean, the example is coming up for me is, I don't like how I'm feeling, I'm going to disidentify.
Say it again?
I don't like how I'm feeling, I'm going to disidentify. Okay, I'm going to do my practice and I'm going to disidentify.
Yeah.
But as soon as we know that process, you can't make it happen. And just, I mean, back to thy will be done is what was coming up for me because, you know, the mind would like to make it that was the good part.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to what an amazing training the whole thing was.
Exactly.
Because here you are writing, I mean, just what you started off talking about, here you're writing kind of by the words, and you get to see, you felt them, intuitively felt the movement, the transition to through the words.
Yeah.
And I mean, gosh, that's what the training is, not what you wrote.
Exactly. You know, that you're saying that, I'm saying the whole thing was the gift.
Exactly.
Not just the last part.
Exactly.
The whole experience.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it's like we could say, like, well, how do we get back to that? And it's like, I can't see the bigger picture here. And when we see it just like you did, the whole thing, then we're like, oh, I want that whole thing. Can I have that whole thing? You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about it is that was what I recorded afterwards. And I had forgotten that until it came through this morning. I was listening to my recordings on Shuffle. That whole thing had been in the two-handed recording exercise. That was what the mentor had said.
Yeah.
The whole thing was for you, you know.
Yeah.
And so just to get to see how okay, that happened on Wednesday, so like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that it had gotten sort of taken over into, oh, that was so special. special. Oh, so, yeah. That one thing, you know, and, yeah. And getting the reminder.
Yeah. Well, again, what, yeah, it's just such a great reminder about why we do recording and listening.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. We have those experiences, and you had the insight mm-hmm. quickly after through doing recording and listening. The mentor saying, "This is it's the whole thing." Mm-hmm. You had that experience. We could say, "We okay, we get that." Yeah. But what we know is that it can't let us keep in that place.
Yeah.
And it's something really important to us.
Yeah.
So how does it take it over? Well, let's try to get that.
Yeah.
And here you are again. Gosh, it's so important to not just record, but to keep listening back. Mm-hmm. And here you hear it again. Mm-hmm. You know, and here you're talking in a group, and it just keeps coming back. It's the whole thing. Yeah, and then we just, you know, just drop on our knees and say thank you for the training.
Exactly,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Susan.
So I'm going to practice what we're talking about as I talk.
Yes.
So I was thinking about how saying it out loud, well, two things. One, I'm going to start saying to myself, if it's God's will for me to be identified,
yeah,
I will be done. Well, like, I don't know, there's something about those words that are helpful to me, because every ego is like, it is absolutely not God's will for you to be identified. Identified is bad.
Right, so there's something wrong with that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It has so to it be. Really helps to kind of
yeah,
move out of that, there's something wrong with that. It's, well, if it's God's will for me to be identified right now, who am I to question?
And it's so awful, because you know, we're doing it all the time about others, externals. Uh-huh. I was trained to do it about that. So, but here's the thing I'll talk about, which was, I had a tangle with my 14-year-old right before I walked down, and it was so, it's a miraculous, so it was sort of a tangle on texts and a little bit phone conversation. I mean, they were on the road. I ran to my car, jumped in to get down here before anybody got into the driveway, because then there's this thing that would happen to me with language, you know, with verbal language. I would have, the energy around it was, there's the story that I'm being told, there's the story that I believe, and there's the lecture that must happen. That's external.
Yes, you know the pattern.
I know the pattern.
Yeah.
I felt it all come, and how so that's why it's so good. It's interesting to talk about, because after sitting, you know, right after actually sitting, I can't even remember if it was during meditation, but certainly as people started to talk, you know, it's like the window happens and I'm no longer believing mm-hmm. the urgency and yeah. necessity and righteous path
yeah.
that I was.
Yeah. And what a gift that you, I mean, what I'm struck by is clearly the practice that's gone on to be aware of that process.
Well, because on the cushion, I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta jump up, leave the meditation hall, go up.
This is urgent.
Get him,
so urgent. I'm out
drive
here.
Him to this thing that he's supposed to be doing. You know, it's divine intervention, places
divine
like
intervention.
This, you know?
Well, if I heard you before, I thought you were saying that there's the tangle going on through text, and you're like, I got to get out of here, meaning...
No, so the heart was, I got to get down to the monastery
right.
before the externals.
Right, because I know what's likely going to happen is
right.
I'm going to start lecturing, and that's not a road I want to go down.
Well, I didn't quite there yet. I knew that I would not be able to come because I'd get pulled into driving mm-hmm. him somewhere.
And it was really hard to come.
Right.
Yeah, again, and I mean,
that practice of, with the external... people, if you're not living here, and I'm sure it's the same here, what am I saying? Forget it. So there's that.
We all know. It's just quieter.
It's just quieter. It's just in here. So, but there is that place of that with the energy and then the stories that start to whip around, it gets confusing about what's mine and what's theirs.
Yeah.
And what's mine to take care of and what's okay to let, I mean, it's on my schedule to come down here.
Yes, and if
At 10 a.m. today.
At 10 a.m. And I just project the practice of following your commitments.
That was the helpful thing. And of knowing, having enough practice to know that it's a razor's edge. It's a razor's edge. I know that. I'm going. And I mean, I could hear the car coming. The addiction to, all right, I should just stay and drive into the thing that it was supposed to do. And then I'm a victim.
Yeah,
and it's all their fault. Yeah. So then I get to lecture because it's the right thing to do, because now I can be mad.
Yeah, and that feels better than...
Exactly. And so... The thing that's so astounding, and it takes me back to, when we first moved here before children, when we came all the time, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, we would say, the external partner and I, it saved our marriage, because we'd be in, and then at 7, we got to get down to the monastery. And then it's like, it was very important. And we
just focus, we can get mad again.
Totally. It's just, but you say it that way, but that's how ego says it, right? I'm sure as soon as I walk out, if I'm not paying attention, it's tricky to remember. Even in talking about it, I was afraid that I was going to
get re-identified.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so the razor's edge, and then what someone was describing about, so I don't know if other people, so what then happens, so let's say duct tape, there was some period where we were doing some email class and I would put duct tape and a smiley face on it. But then there's...
That's what we do in email class.
That's what you guys do. I made that up, I'm sure, out of something. But anyway, right, for the record. But there is kind of that swing to then, I just won't say anything at all. Why say anything? Because...
just part of that defeated.
Yeah, so it's sort of the energy arises, it's labeled anxiety. I'm told, well, don't say anything out of that energy because, but as I was looking at it, I could just talk about what I'm seeing. Like,
what's going on?
Wow, I've got some energy going on.
Let's get you.
Because I do have to drive up and drive him to this thing he did wrong. Anyway, responsibility he failed at for a friend of mine, so that it hits the whole thing. So anyway, see, you can just see it. So I could just, drive and breathe and talk about that. Because, he's going to think, I'm sure, he's in for a lecture. me not saying anything, it's worse for them, because they know.
If you're aware of your pattern, I'm pretty sure he's aware of that.
Exactly. But if I just say, I've got a lot of energy, we got to get up there, and I see it, I could even say, I kind of want to lecture you, but I see that wouldn't work, because, you're supposed to do it on Thursday, or whatever this day was, you're supposed to do it. That doesn't help, but then, I do want to, I just say it out loud.
Exactly.
It seems like then it wouldn't be, shaming and trying to, get him in the
wrong. You're modeling.
Yeah. Yes.
It's what Cher talks about that a lot, right? Just to talk out loud. I think I just remembered a time we were talking in here about a similar thing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it just sounds like what's dropping in is I can just say what's going on for me as we're driving. I just imagining him, because as you said, behavior patterns and family relationships, at least my experience, are so entrenched that if all of a sudden we're doing anything different, it's just like there's so much possible.
Mm-hmm. And
for you to practice staying there is essentially, like you said, I know when I get out here, which really highlights how it has to work constantly to make problems happen. Mm-hmm. As you said, what was it again?
Right.
And then here you go, now let me remind you, and it has to keep, it has to build the whole case again, which reminds us it's building a case.
Yes.
It doesn't mean it's actually what's going on. Mm-hmm. So your commitment, it sounds like, is I really want to keep staying present like I have been the whole morning.
Yeah.
Like I followed my commitment to come here. Like when I was like, I got to get off this cushion and drive him up the thing right now, I'm going to stay on the cushion. And so when I walk out of here, my commitment, maybe you record and listen on the way up, maybe when you get in the car, you do just what's going on for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like you're modeling for us.
Yeah, that's good. I think it will continue. Hmm. It's just so humble. It's just, for me, it's very humbling because of the razor's edge, mm-hmm. that that I could, it's so I'm so grateful to have to come down here, because the difference in worlds is astounding. I mean, how right and in and how urgent. And then all I did was sit and breathe. And all of a sudden, ego's trying to find that again.
Yeah, there's no
tread. Right, there's no tread. There really isn't. I mean, and then it catches. But in that, there really isn't. There's like, well, gosh, why was it that? Why was it so full of energy and urgency? And how can that pass when nothing external has changed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the mystery, right? It's not like.
Yeah.
I got the call. I was on the cushion that somebody drove him to the thing, and he got it done. You know, no, that didn't happen.
What an amazing privileged experience we have.
Yes,
that's really what Todd was starting us off with. That real being able to see in such contrast.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So bright, so clear. And then I follow a practice commitment, and this is going to happen anywhere, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, so here we come, but we happen to be here at the monastery, and you come here. And it's like, wait, what was that again? Mm-hmm. The righteousness is, and you can feel it trying to stir that up, and you're watching it like, not really believe, this isn't even catching. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to work really hard to get back to that place. I mean, we probably could.
But, it won't have to work hard, Scott.
Well, it's going to have to work hard in the sense of what it's in this larger place now. So you're watching it try to do that.
That's right.
And so it gives you much more of a chance to choose.
Yes.
Whereas before it, you know, it doesn't really feel like a choice.
Well, that's good to get on the recorder, too, because there's certainly a sense in the energy system. What you're saying is, is the good part. I mean, you're saying that it's that I've done what I was in front of me to do, and that the odds are good that I can continue to do that. Mm-hmm. But this is saying, well, as soon as I get you out there, we know who you are. Who somebody said the bad person's going to, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing because you're like, what's the difference? I mean, you live you know, 5 minutes away, so it's like because there's earth walls around us, or we know it in the sense that this is a movement you so well articulated for us.
Yeah.
There's no reason we can't continue that. You know, it wants you to believe as soon as you've come off this piece of land and gone onto a different piece of land, you won't be able to do it. But that's such a bunch of kooky, you know.
Oh, thank you so much.
2 minutes, Jen.
You know, just quickly, this whole conversation reminds me so much of, I was recording, I think it was just this morning, you know, one of those, oh, right, what we always say, things, but truly, it's so interesting the conversation we're having around words and then all of the other things, because that's the only place the suffering can happen. And so it's why anything, like a breath mantra, or I was looking at it in particular when I was recording about it, was how critical the listening part in recording and listening is.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing that two-handed recording commitment. And it's fun just in that two-handed recording commitment to be seeing all the things I'm seeing, but also to be really kind of looking and exploring deeper the process of recording and listening. And one of the things I'm getting to is how critical that listening is to the words on the recorder, not the conversation that's happening while that's happening. And that I just was seeing how something like a breath mantra, I mean, I suppose maybe, you know, I don't know, the particular thing might be magical or whatever, spiritual or whatever, but I think, at least for me, the huge piece of it is it splices ego's ability to create the suffering. Mm-hmm. Because if all of my attention is on, I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love, it cannot have, it's exactly what was just described. That problem, quote, that I have can't be maintained.
Yeah, exactly.
And it seems like it can because it's, I choose unconditional love, you know, it's bouncing back and forth so quickly between those two things. Like one version of for me is, I choose unconditional love. Well, that's not working. You're not feeling it. You're not feeling unconditional love. I choose unconditional love. But I'm still not feeling it. But I'm still, right? But the only reason, quote, it's not working is that the attention is being split up here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just that place that's incredibly simple, but so challenging to do it.
I like your word you used earlier, spliced.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like, it has to have a constant dialogue. And if you are breaking that up by a breath mantra or, you know, just committing to sitting still or really giving all your attention to listening, it's like it starts to break. It can't hold its quote form anymore.
Yeah. I'm like, not so that the slice gets big enough that we see through to whoa.
Yeah.
Just this like was just being described. Like, wow, that's not real.
That's not real.
Yeah. The only thing that makes it challenging is that it's so good at getting me to side with it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put my attention on unconditional love. I'm right. This is wrong. Or even stupid stuff. Like, I watch it like, now let's see, what was going to... let me just finish that train of thought. For what reason?
Yeah, what we were talking about with Todd at the beginning.
Only to create suffering.
Yeah, I'm going to choose right over... I don't want to do unconditional love.
I'm right.
I mean, that in itself is like...
So right. Whoa. And that's where the addiction piece comes in.
It is an addiction. Right?
And that's where that, like, every chance we get, you know, it's that thing. When motivation is high, do the hard thing. Mm-hmm. Right? So when I'm seeing clearly, and why would I ever choose that? That's when I'm making those recordings. And then when the motivation is low, and it feels really true and real that I'm right and I want to be over here, then I just listen to those recordings and I do the best I can to stay here.
Yeah.
That's all.
Do the best I can.
That's all. It's just a training.
It's just a training. Yeah. Yeah, and we have the steps to do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.